1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and from verse 16, a few short verses this morning. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, at the start of the year, as we look to you, we pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would continue as you've done for generations before us to reveal more of yourself to us through this word of yours. Allow us to see the truths contained within it this morning. Allow us not merely to see them, but allow us to think on them, to not just think on them and ponder them, but Lord, help us to apply what we learn to our lives, that we indeed might live more for you in these coming days. So Lord, encourage our hearts, we ask, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin a new year, there is always so much that lies before us. New projects at our work, new improvements around the home, new interests for our personal time. Perhaps we're moving home this year, changing job, choosing a university course, doing something new. Many of us will have made New Year's resolutions, although I'm guessing since it's the 8th of January that most of them have probably been forgotten already as well. Are you intent on losing weight, going to the gym, going from couch to 5K? Is it about reading the Bible more, praying more, being in God's presence more? Whether it's a life plan, a job plan, a family plan, personal plan, we all tend to prioritize a number of things at the start of a new year. I do want to offer you maybe a little bit of an alternative set of priorities for the coming year. Maybe you've got these already, I don't know, but I offer them anyway. How about as individuals? How about as a church? We set our hearts on becoming a people of prayer, of praise, and of proclamation. Now some of you are looking at me with that sense of bewilderment, thinking, are we not that already? And of course we are, to a point. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul speaks of always, of continually, of in all circumstances. It's a whole life approach for Paul. He doesn't want just part of his life or indeed just a part of the lives of those believers he is writing to be lived for God. He wants to be all in, all or nothing. James Denny, a Scots preacher and professor that I have to confess I didn't know much about until I was at Baptist College, and I didn't find out much about him because he was getting taught about, but Jim Gordon, our principal, loved James Denny. He wrote a thesis, PhD stuff, on James Denny. James Denny said of these verses in Thessalonians, he says these are the standing orders of the gospel. The standing orders, the top priorities, the things to live by. I wonder this year, 2017, do you want to be all in for God? Do you want to live your life completely and fully for Him? Do you want to be completely devoted to Him? Do you want to grow to know Him more, to love Him more, to live more for Him in all of these coming days? Well, Paul offers us in these verses three key areas to concentrate on. And so let's consider these as top priorities for 2017. Now, of course, those of you with very good memories and notepads in front of you that go back a number of years will recognize that I preached on the wider passage of 1 Thessalonians 5 three New Years ago at the start of the year. So there must be important verses for some reason that God's brought them back to mind today. Back then, we resolved to walk well among people, to worship God with all of our hearts and to witness for God with all of our lives. So you can go back and listen to that if you want the wider context. But for today, I want to hone in on this small section we read. As we consider our priorities, as we look to become a people of prayer, of praise, and of proclamation. Very, very quick bit of context, just so that you know what Paul, who Paul's writing to and why he's writing to them and what's going on. He's speaking to the believers in a city called Thessalonica. He's encouraging them in two main ways. He speaks of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the need to be ready for that and living in light of its soon return. That is one major part of his letter. And the other major part is where he speaks of the practical ministry of the local church. Now, having spent time in Ephesians and now we're in the midst of Colossians, you've already got that kind of idea that Paul tends to have these kind of two strands to his teaching, to his letters. One of doctrine, of teaching us the things of God, and the other of our duty, of our practical living. And both of those themes that Paul has here in Thessalonians are reasons for the top priorities we now find in these verses. Firstly, Paul urges them to be a people of prayer. A people of prayer. Verses 16 to 18 are in fact about prayer and praise, and the two are intrinsically tied together. When we praise God, we're often led to do that in prayer as well as in song. When we pray, we're often led to praise God for who He is and for all He has done. I don't know about you, but quite often if I'm praying in the midst of a time of prayer, something will come to mind and I'll end up starting to sing. Now, that's a good thing because everybody's normally out at work or at university by the time I'm doing that, so they're not disturbed by me and my poor singing. But isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to do, to pray and to praise? They're so often tied together, but I want to separate them a little bit this morning, to consider them apart. Paul says in verse 17, he says, pray continually. Depending on the version of the Bible you're using, it might say pray without ceasing. Prayer is a priority for the Christian, or at least it ought to be. We should want to talk to the God who made us, who loves us, who saved us, and cares for us. We have been adopted into His family. We have become sons and daughters of the King. And so we should love to talk to our Father. Children love to talk to their parents, parents to their children. At least I hope that's the experience you have. Whenever Andrew and Rebecca come in from work, or Rebecca from university, they'll sit and tell us what's going on that day. Morgan will come in and tell me how her day's been from work, and I'll maybe tell her of all the great exciting things we've done here. Rebecca's actually particularly good for telling us all about what's going on. We went on holiday in November, and she said to us, you don't need to phone home very often. So we thought, that's okay. Well, not. But we did occasionally phone home just to check they were okay. And every time we phoned home, she was on the phone for over an hour because she just wanted to tell us everything that was going on. But that's what happens in that kind of loving family relationship. And it ought to be true of our relationship with our Father in heaven. We should want to talk to Him regularly and often. And dare I say that there is something wrong with your relationship with God if that is not the case. There's something wrong if you're not talking to God often in prayer. Paul says, pray continually. Does that mean that you must pray every waking moment of the day? No, obviously not, because neither Paul nor our Lord Jesus did that. Yet certainly in both cases, they prayed regularly and they prayed often. Jesus clearly missed that constant communion with His Father that He had when He was with Him in heaven, because when He came down to earth, He would often go away and pray. You go through the Gospels and you find Jesus praying in the morning, taking Himself off early in the day to be on His own, whether it was on a hillside or somewhere else, to talk to His Father. He would pray often during the day as He dealt with people and situations, and He would pray at the close of the day as well, mindful of that relationship He had with the Lord. Paul the Apostle prayed regularly and often too. We're having a little bit of a break from Colossians at the moment, but even there we learned of Paul in prayer. In Colossians 1:9 he said, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. And then notice what he was asking for there in Colossians. I've already mentioned it this morning as I was praying there, asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. In Ephesians 6 and 18, he urged the believers to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, he said, always keep on praying for the saints. So the encouragement for us is to pray regularly, to pray often, to pray without ceasing in that sense. It's helpful to know that the word translated without ceasing was used of a hacking cough. And I noticed in the news this morning, there's a wee bit of an epidemic at the moment of folks with this real hacking cough that the doctors can do nothing about but let it run its course and stop. A person with a bad cough does not cough continuously, but they do it often and repeatedly. That word was also used of repeated military attacks. If an army would attack a city, they wouldn't succeed in the first go. They would regroup and attack over and over and over again until they won the victory. Our prayers should be frequent and persistent, much like the friend who came in Luke 11 to ask for a loaf of bread, or the widow in Luke 18 who kept bothering the unjust judge. Frequent, persistent, continual. Prayer is vitally important for every believer. Jesus modeled prayer for us. He gave us a model prayer to use, but he also showed us that we can pray at all times and every place and in every circumstances. So let me ask you at the start of this new year, how is your prayer life? Is it simply a few words at the start of the day? A quick prayer when there's something that you need help with during the day that you just can't do on your own? It can be so much more. Pray continually, pray without ceasing, pray often throughout the day. Perhaps you need a little bit of a help starting and cultivating a good prayer life. Well, maybe the first step is to recognize that we can't do life on our own. We cannot do life on our own. We so often think it's about us. We're the most selfish, self-obsessed people, I think, throughout history. Although probably somebody will go back in the history books and tell me there was somebody before us who was exactly the same, because these things tend to go in cycles. But life isn't about us. We cannot do it alone. Jesus recognized that. He was the Son of God here on earth, yet he prayed constantly to his Father. Jesus said often that he couldn't do it on his own. John 5:19, the Son can do nothing by himself. John 5:30, by myself I can do nothing. John 8:28, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Listen, maybe it's time to recognize your need to depend on the Lord in every situation. Prayer is the language of trusting in the Lord. Prayer is the language of trusting in God. It's recognizing that he knows far better than we do, that we can trust him for absolutely everything in our lives. Next step would say to start with short prayers. Short prayers, wherever you are. You don't need to lock yourself in a closet and pray for an hour first time round. By all means, crack on and do it. But start with short prayers where you are. When you think of a loved one or a friend, send up a prayer for him or for her. When someone asks you to pray for some need, don't promise to pray about it later, and then forget probably, but pray for them right there and right then. You know, I love the scene in Nehemiah, right at the start of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the pagan king, King Antaxerxes, or however you want to pronounce his name later on. And as Nehemiah went before the king this day, he was sad in the king's presence. And this was a serious offense in those days, and Nehemiah was afraid. And so he explained to the king that he was sad because his home city, Jerusalem, was desolate and destroyed. And the king asked what Nehemiah would request of him. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, we read the words. And this is Nehemiah's own words, his own reporting of it. He says, "Then I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king." He prayed in that moment short, quick, arrow prayer to God for wisdom, for the right words, for strength, for boldness, for courage, whatever it was. And then he answered the king. He didn't excuse himself for a few minutes. That silent prayer. So you could be doing the same often during the day when things happen, those short, quick prayers. Move on to praying through the church directory. I mean to get it updated a little bit, get a few new pictures in there for you to smile at and or to stick on the dartboard, whatever it happens to be. But pray through. We encourage you every week in the notice sheet. I give you 2 pages to pray through that week. Pray for people in the church family. But don't just pray for their practical needs. That's the simple bit. That's the easy bit. That's the bit that we do all of the time. Oh, pray for Hamish as he tries to lose weight this year, that he's not too upset and hurt. Told you weren't going to live that one down. The things that come into your mind. Pray, not just for practical needs, but pray for those spiritual needs as well. Pray that your brothers and sisters would grow in their knowledge of God. Pray that they would grow to love God more with all of their heart, soul, life, and being. Pray that they would live for God each and every day. And that's what Paul encourages us to do. Pray those big prayers for each other. Can you imagine? And I've been thinking about this week. Can you imagine what it would be like if we prayed those big prayers, spiritual prayers for each other in this church every day this year? Can you imagine what God would do in this place? Can you imagine how your life would be changed as we pray that for each other? You could also begin to spend time in God's Word and pray it each morning or evening. As you read God's Word, pray through it. I was doing that myself this morning, praying through the Word this year. I've got an Old Testament reading and a Gospel and a Psalm and a bit of Proverbs in there. And just going through that this morning. Remembering that God protects us. He protected, my reading was Lot this morning, Sodom and Gomorrah, how God protected Lot and took him out of that situation. And so I prayed for God's protection on me and on the family. When I got to the Gospels, Jesus was talking about, do not worry about today or tomorrow. We're going to eat or wear or all the rest of it because God's looking after your life. God's providing for you. And so I prayed that the Lord's Prayer, that God would give us our daily bread for our family, that he'd be with us and help us not to worry. Help me not to worry about standing up in the pulpit looking at all your faces looking at me wondering, oh, what are they thinking? When I got to the Psalms, it was Psalm 8. Praising God for being mindful. What is man that you are mindful of him? This, the Son of Man that you consider him. And remembering that our great God loves us and cares for us and walks with us. So you praise him for that. And the Proverbs was all about some wisdom in there, knowing knowledge and understanding. And so it's dead easy, actually, to read your scriptures and then just to pray through some of those themes, asking God to be with you, to protect you, to provide for you, to bless you, thanking God for his goodness and his faithfulness, trusting in him for all that is coming. So pray through scripture. Read a good book on prayer. I've got 2 here up on the screen for you. I've only got one in person. A Praying Life by a guy called Paul Miller. I came across this about 18 months ago, and it's a great little book that is a starter for us. If you don't pray or you struggle with prayer, get this and begin to read it through and to put into practice some of the ideas that he gives you. The other one I've got on my Kindle just now, Praying Through the Bible with a guy called Don Whitney, and he just basically shows you how to take a portion of Scripture, how to read it, to think on it, and then how to just pray through it. Great books to pick up, and there's a whole load more out there. Anybody could, I could give you a list of half a dozen probably, but 2 good books to start with. Friends, our top priority this year ought to be to become a people of prayer. Stop depending on yourself and start trusting fully in God. Pray often, pray short prayers, pray long prayers. Pray for practical needs and for spiritual growth. Pray through Scripture. Join us on a Thursday. Listen, this is the start of a new year. This is the first Thursday of 2017 that we're going to be together in the hall, praying for one another, praying for the church, praying for the community, praying for our world. Come and join us at 7:30. A short devotion, half an hour of prayer, and you even get tea and coffee and a wee pastry to finish it off, okay? Come and join us.
There's 6 or 7, 8, 9, 10 of us. But there could be 60, 70 of us through there praying. Come and join us on a Thursday. Be a people of prayer. Join us at the day of prayer and fasting. Stuart mentioned that 2 weekends time, the start of the year, Saturday, the church will be open during the day. We'll have different focuses in the different rooms. Join us as we pray and fast for one another, for the needs of the church, for the needs of the community around us. Come and jot down your own prayer requests on the day as well. And if you don't know about prayer and fasting, then you need to come next week. Because next week, Sunday morning and Sunday evening, I'm going to be teaching you a little bit about prayer and fasting from the Scriptures. Join me as I call a few impromptu prayer meetings this year to pray for specific things, just for half an hour over a lunchtime or a coffee break or whatever it happens to be. We're called to be a people of prayer. So listen, stop making your excuses and start praying. That's how simple it is. And you know, great things happen when people pray. We're going to move on to the next point in a minute, but let me just, if I can find this Facebook message here this week, just so I give you it properly. But a colleague, Martin Clark, up in Hillview Community Church in Aberdeen, they're starting a church plant in another area around about them, the area of Kintore. And last week, they began giving out leaflets around their community and praying around that community in Kintore, saying that this church plant was starting. And he got an email back from one of the residents. And this is what it said. I am very excited to see what the Lord is going to do at Kintore. I know 4 ladies who have prayed faithfully for Kintore for over 30 years. 2 who are now with the Lord. The foundation of prayer has been faithfully laid down. See what happens when we pray. Might not be today. Might not be tomorrow that we see the answers. But by jingo, God will answer our prayers. Let's be a people of prayer. But then, very quickly, let me do the next two. A lot quicker than that first one, because that's the key one for me. Prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Without prayer, we are nothing. Without prayer, nothing happens. So we need to be praying. But Paul moves on to say, we need to be a people of praise. He says in verse 16, be joyful always. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This idea of being joyful constantly and giving thanks continually speak of our praise to God. To be joyful always literally means to have praise in our hearts to God at all times. And yet I wonder if any of us praise God all the time. Indeed, sometimes I wonder if we praise God at all. It's easy sometimes to praise God when things are going well in our lives, when we see answers to prayer, when we are gathered together singing songs of praise. Yet at other times, it just seems so hard to do. Paul says that we are to be joyful always, as this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. We are to rejoice because of Jesus, to rejoice because of all that he has done for us. If it were not for Jesus, we would be dead in our sins. We would be lost. We'd be walking in darkness all of our days, but because of Jesus' life on earth, we now walk in the light. Because of Jesus coming to be the way, the truth, and the life, we are now found. Because of Jesus' death, we are now forgiven of our sin. There's enough reason in Jesus for us to be praising him always. Paul gives more when he writes to the Philippians, when he uses a phrase here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice, the Lord is near. And that's why we can praise always as well, because the Lord is near. He is near in that he lives in us by his Spirit. And he is near in that his coming back is closer today than it's been at any other point in human history. So praise God. Jesus is with us. Jesus is coming back to take us to be with him for all eternity. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise him all the day long. Now I know life is tough. I know it's difficult. I know things happen to us that cause us heartache and pain. We suffer the loss of a loved one, or a job, or a firm. We suffer hurt. Someone's injured us or spoken ill of us. We suffer ill health, a disease, a debilitating illness, an injury. We suffer persecution. People make fun of us for our faith. We go through trials in life, but that should not stop us from being a people of praise. Jesus knew that. He was mocked and beaten and whipped. People wanted nothing to do with him. Paul knew it, didn't he? Paul speaks in Corinthians, that big long list of suffering, of being beaten and whipped, and trials and storms at sea and all of the rest of it. He wrote to people under persecution and he said, rejoice always. Why? Because it's a command. The words, the verb, the way it's written here in the original Greek text is an imperative. It's a command. To rejoice always has to be viewed not as a matter of our feelings, but as a matter of obedience. When we are in difficult trials or if people have mistreated us because of our faith, we've got a choice. We can either focus on our trials and lapse into self-pity, or we can set our minds on things above where Christ is at the right hand of God, where our life is hidden with Christ in God, as Paul tells us in Colossians that we'll come to, and we can rejoice. As Paul commanded the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. That little phrase, in the Lord, is the key there. Since we are eternally in the Lord through faith in Christ, we can always rejoice in the Lord. Our joy cannot be totally oblivious to our circumstances, friends. It can't be. But neither should it be governed by them. We trust in God. We lift our eyes to Him. We're called to be a people of praise, a people who rejoice and give thanks to God despite their circumstances, aware of who He is, all He has done, is doing, and will do in our lives. So how do we cultivate that attitude of praise? How do we start to praise God in the storms as well as in the stillness? Well, firstly, we focus on the riches of what we have in Christ. Remember back to our time in Ephesians, that opening chapter of Ephesians 1, where Paul said that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God chose us, He loves us, He adopts us, He redeems us, He forgives us, He makes known His will, the mystery of His will to us. He promised us an inheritance, He sealed us with His Holy Spirit. Man, I could just stand and give you the riches of Jesus all day long. They're there. But then we walk in the Spirit and we don't walk in the flesh. Start looking up. Stop looking down. Start looking to the Savior and stop looking at your situation. And start to sing. Get a hymn book. Get the praise CD on. Who uses CDs these days, actually? Yeah, get the iPhone, the iTunes, the Spotify, the Apple Music, whatever it is. Get it on and start to sing along. Lift your eyes to the God who loves you, who has lifted you, and who leads you on. Of course, look around. See all He has done for you and given to you. Give thanks for His grace and for His gifts and for His goodness, as we thought about last week when we looked at Lamentations. Remember Romans 8:28, that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. The trial you are enduring just now is for your good. God will bring good from it. That's easy for me to say. I know that. It's much harder for us to live through, but it's a truth that God teaches us in His Word. We need to trust in God. When we trust in God fully and completely, listen, we will be a people of praise. When we trust fully in Him, we will praise Him all the day long. And finally, we consider as one of our top priorities this year, being a people of proclamation. And you're already looking at those verses and thinking, what on earth? How did he get that point from those verses there? Well, by this I mean that we are a people who live by the word of God. Not necessarily us proclaiming to the world, because that's normally what we think about being a people of proclamation. And certainly Scripture would teach us that we are to be a people of proclamation, a people who tell other people about our faith. But here Paul is talking about a people who come under the word of God, preached and proclaimed, who ponder that word, who apply it to our lives so that we live the way God intends. This is the key theme of verses 19 to 22. And people have debated for years. They still debate, by the way, if Paul was speaking about a specific problem that the church in Thessalonica was going through at this time with prophecy. Paul is, I believe, speaking about the way people generally hear and interact with the word of God. Many were quenching the Spirit's work in applying that word to their lives. Others were not taking the word seriously, and they were neglecting God speaking into their lives. So Paul urges them to be a people of proclamation, a people of preaching, a people who take God's word seriously when it is read, preached, and taught. He says there, don't put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything and then hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. And we get all caught up in prophecies sometimes about what they are, about if they died out with the apostles or not. And I am not in 2 minutes going to give you the answer to all of that. Okay, that would take a few sermons worth probably in the midst there. But let's just think about prophecies in their very simplest form. A prophecy is quite simply the telling of truth, especially the truth of God. In practical terms, I speak words of prophecy every Sunday as I preach God's word to us. I lay it before us. These words aren't mine. My job is not to give you my pet thoughts, my hobby horses. My job is to make sure that the main point of the text is the main point of the sermon that we hear, that we interact with. So Paul here is referring to people who are guilty of hearing the word of God preached in power and in truth, and who then simply ignore it, making it of no effect in their lives. God's word isn't a buffet either, friends. It's not the kind of thing where you pick up the bits you like and you forget about the bits that you don't. Never be guilty of picking and choosing only that which you want from the word of God. We're challenged in the Bible to do more than simply hear the word of God as well. James, in his epistle, says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. He says, do what it says. And that sounds so simple. And yet, I have to tell you, I am so amazed at the amount of people who cannot take God's word simply as God's word. We try and do cartwheels with it to make it say what we want it to say, or we don't like what it says and we simply just throw it away, forget about it. We are called to be a people of proclamation, a people who come under the power of the word preached and apply that to our lives. So how do we cultivate listening to God's word preached and proclaimed? How do we allow God to speak to us through his word? How do we make sure that we don't quench the Spirit's fire in us as he helps apply God's word to our lives? Well, firstly, when we come before God's word, we ought to do so with a humble attitude of prayer. That's why I always, once I've read the scriptures, why we always pray before I then preach. For my own sake and for you. A moment to pray that God would speak to us through his word, that we wouldn't be distracted by what goes on around us, that we would give and be given the wisdom to understand what God is saying to us. We pray for the Spirit to work, to illumine our minds with the truths that God has recorded for us. Of course, we have to actually read his word or listen to it preached. We have to make the effort to open our Bibles at home, to come to church, to hear good biblical preaching and teaching. Maybe you've got a different church right enough, but you awake still? Good. Just checking. As we engage with God's word, as it's preached and proclaimed, allow God to speak to you. Think about those questions. How do I apply this to my life? How does this help me become more like Jesus? We can listen to sermons online, of course, these days, but somehow for me, there's nothing that beats being with God's people in God's house, listening to that word preached and proclaimed. So this year, make it a priority to be here. To be here. To come under the power of his word. And if you can't be here, then make sure you're in another church where the word is preached and proclaimed. And if you can't be here, but you really wanted to be here, then it's all recorded. So you can get it online. You can listen in again. If you've missed out on something, you need to think it through again. If you sit and think to yourself, I didn't understand what Hamish said, listen to it. Listening to it 3 or 4 times probably won't help you. But the option's there this year. Let's make it a priority to be in church this morning. Top priorities for 2017. My challenge and encouragement to each of us is to take God's word seriously. I know you do that, but keep doing that. Perhaps for the first time this year, you will commit to being a people of prayer, of praise, and of proclamation. Maybe this is a time to recommit to those priorities and to seek to continue to be a people of prayer, a people of praise, a people of proclamation. In order to fulfill these, we will need to commit afresh to gathering with God's people regularly for prayer and praise and to hear the proclamation of his word. Listen, it thrills your pastor's heart. to see people seriously engaging with God's word. It encourages them greatly when you join with them at the prayer meeting on a Thursday evening. It encourages them greatly when we're here together on a Sunday. Most of all, listen, most of all, I am thrilled when I see you grow in your faith because you're taking God's word seriously. This year, let's make these our top priority. Let's be a people of prayer. Let's be a people of praise. And let's be a people who come under that word week in and week out, day in and day out, as we open it for ourselves as well. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for your word and for all that's in it. We want to thank you for the way we normally work through whole books of the Bible, bit after bit. But Lord, we thank you for these moments when we can focus in just on a specific few verses and theme to set us up for a season and for a year. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to take seriously our engagement with your word, that we would think about it and talk about it and apply it to our lives often. And so, Lord, today, help us to think about these verses. Help us to think about these themes. Help us to know how to apply them to our lives as individuals and collectively as a church today. Lord, above all, we just want to be all in for you, to be all in as Paul was, for living for you day in and day out in our personal lives and in our public lives as well. Would you give us the strength and the courage and the boldness to do that this year? That in whatever happens, we would just stick to the truth that you are our God. And so we can pray to you, we can praise you, and we can read and learn from your word together. So Lord, encourage our hearts through this word this morning, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.